Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. He was a Georgetown-educated doctor with a passion for rural health care. Dr. Ayaz Vierge sought an opportunity to practice what he called a more dignified medicine in small-town Minnesota. He moved his family to Dawson. They were welcomed and all was well. And then the divisiveness of the 2016 election arrived in Dawson. Dr. Vierge is Muslim. President Trump won Dawson by 6 percentage points. And before long, Dr. Vierge found himself contemplating wearing a bulletproof vest to give a talk about faith. He eventually chose not to wear that vest. Dr. Vierge is chief of staff for Johnson Memorial Health Services and medical director of the primary care clinic in Dawson, Minnesota. He delivers a wolf talk at Northern State University in Aberdeen. That's on November 29th at 6:30 p.m. in the Blue Room at the Johnson Fine Arts Center. He joins us now on the phone from Dawson, Minnesota. Dr. Vierge, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with this concept of a more dignified medicine. Let's begin there and tell me what did that mean to you and how did it bring you to Dawson?
Sure. So approximately in 2013, I really had a kind of deeper desire to do more in medicine than what I was doing. I was about mid-career at that time, and I saw around me medicine changing, turning more into kind of a turnstile, cookie-cutter type thing in larger locations. At the same time, I saw a big health disparity in how medicine was delivered in the country. So 20% of the population lives in rural towns, but only receives about 9% of physicians and healthcare professionals. So my entire career, I've always thought of medicine as not just a profession, but also as a moral calling, which is why I've always worked in free clinics ever since I was a medical student at Georgetown. I helped co-found the community medical clinic there. I worked at the Urban Ministries free clinic when I was a resident at Duke, at the Red Crescent free clinic in Florida, and now at the Hattie Medical Clinic in Minneapolis. So coming to Dawson was, for me, the natural next step in that calling for medicine, to serve those who don't have access to health care, but also in a non-turnstile way where I can actually be their doctor. I can take care of them in the clinic, in the hospital. They'll see me and when they're in the emergency room or in the nursing home. They've got that face. They know that somebody knows them well, is well acquainted with their history, and will be their translator and advocate in what can often be a scary healthcare system.
Tell me your first impressions of coming to Dawson, Minnesota then. Did you think you had found the sort of healthcare model that you were looking for, the sort of town that you wanted to live and practice in?
So when I came with my wife, we had a very good first impression. I really liked the hospital. I thought it was very practical, and I thought that it was very inviting to patients. It was in a small town, but it was also progressive. They were well established with telemedicine. They were well established and connected with specialty centers when the need arose. For us, we knew it was going to need to be a small town if we were going to serve people in rural America. The population was 1,500, and we expected to see a lot less than we are generally used to seeing in a suburban area or city. What our prerequisite was when we came was we didn't want to see any swastikas around or any signs of race, because we were worried. This was a huge step. It's difficult to uproot a family and just move from, you know, a typical town or city like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to a town like Dawson. And we were
Let's dig into that just. Before you go forward, just dig into that a little bit, because, you know, you mentioned swastikas and stuff. Was that your impression of you know, rural Minnesota, that that was a possibility, that there would be that kind of overt, you know, racism?
So when I grew up in a small town in Fort Myers, Florida, which then was a small town. And my wife grew up in a small town, Scranton, Pennsylvania. And we both experienced a lot of racism when we were young. Mm-hmm. That was normal. We were both called the N-word. We were pretty much experienced a lot of that. So we just wanted to make sure that when we were raising our children, that we weren't going to put them in an environment like that. So we didn't have a presupposition that that was going to happen. And we also had experienced post 9/11. We went 10 rounds with racism. My wife had somebody chase her with a baseball bat. So we just needed to be sure.
Wow. All right, so you come to Dawson, everything's going well. And what is it about this election that sort of, you know, either brings back memories of being bullied and tormented as a child, or, you know, being your wife being chased by a baseball bat? You know, what are the specific things about the 2016 presidential election that has you on guard in the first place?
Well, November 8th, 2016 was a turning point, and it wasn't hidden. This candidate, who is now the president, he said very openly, Islam hates us. He said, I want to put Muslims on a registry. He said, I mean, he made fun of a disabled reporter. He was a misogynist. He openly said that I could go down to New York City and shoot somebody and my followers will still follow me. And unfortunately, he was right. These were not hidden. This was a new low for morality. And he was popularly elected. So that's the obvious stuff. That's the stuff that, man, how could we not be offended by that? Now, the more direct stuff that came out after the election, for me, I was understanding for the first time what local residents actually felt about Islam. And one of the local pastors, Pastor Mandy France, would hear comments directly at her church, at her events she would go to, and she came to me and said, we need to do something. Now, at that point, I was very angry. I was very upset because I didn't have to be in Dawson. I came here to answer a call. I came here to do something that other people weren't doing. If not me, then who was going to do it? But then 60% of the county here voted for the guy who wants me on a registry. Now, Hitler was popularly elected, too. He didn't get power through a coup. I mean, people voted for him. And he had some very specific ideals in mind. So does the current one occupying this office here. Now, that is offensive. And on top of that, when Mandy told me people were saying things and which she knew were untrue, she wanted to help turn both of our anger into something productive and to do some of these lectures, which I agreed to do. And it was interesting because the lectures were protested. People protested saying a Muslim should not be allowed to speak publicly, not at our school system, which was the only auditorium large enough in Dawson to hold 400 people, which is what the crowd was. And it was after hours in the school. It wasn't during school, and we were renting it. We were paying for it. And it got to the degree that people were protesting even the ads that a Muslim was speaking. So the church, who was sponsoring the event, again, I didn't sponsor the event. I didn't come up. The church came up to me. It was a Christian-sponsored event because they saw what was going on. And they had to change the ads to make it known it was a Christian-sponsored event so people would stop complaining. Now, what would you think if you were in a position like that? People here know me. I'm the town doctor, you know, and all of a sudden these protests. I mean, that stung.
Yeah. What were people saying to you specifically? I know you were featured in an article in the Washington Post, and we'll put a link up to that complete piece after the program. But one of the things that you mentioned is that, you know, some people were not talking to you anymore. What kind of things were people saying to you directly in Dawson that maybe you hadn't heard prior to the election?
So it's an interesting dynamic here because I'm the only full-time doctor who's a resident in the community. So people don't want me to go. So I think people are very careful before they'll say something to me personally. Now, in Montevideo, it was interesting when we were giving the lecture, you know, the guy screamed out, listen, you're the Antichrist. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, I have nothing in common with you. You know, it's funny, we live in a time where preaching love and inclusion is so dangerous. But anyway, in the next breath, a person says, well, but we're really glad that you're here, even though, you know, you're going to hell. We're just glad that you're here. And that's interesting. They want the Antichrist to live among them. And what's also interesting is, you know, my son had one of his friends come up to him and say, you know, your mom's a part-time suicide bomber just because she wears a scarf over her hair. I mean, that's hurtful. That's not fun. And So there's a dichotomy. People won't generally come to me directly. Although there was recently, and this just happened about a month ago, it was a family member of a patient who started deriding me and I think saying that I was the Antichrist. And it actually elevated to the point where it involved the local priest. And I wasn't even there. One of the nurses kind of stood up for me, and she was really rattled by the whole circumstance. But these things are happening. I mean, they don't happen directly to me, but I hear about them. And so it makes me wonder, you know, it was almost a moment of reflection. What do people here really want? If they could pull the brown part of me, the Muslim part of me, and throw that part and put it on a registry or throw them on a boat to go somewhere else, but just keep the doctor, would they do that? And it really destroyed the fantasy, because for us it was wonderful. It was hard to move to Dawson, but after getting used to it and being around the people, I mean, I think the people are so gracious and so good to begin with. I think they're just misinformed. But a lot of that kind of surreal life, I mean, I guess I woke up to the reality of what maybe people really think about me, or at least that part of me, my identity.
Did other people in Dawson wake up too? You mentioned Pastor Mandy. I mean, how did other people around you sort of have a similar kind of awakening, or did they not? Did they not understand what your experience was?
So I think that's the question. That's the million-dollar question, yeah. And I don't have the answer. I just know that I think what we're doing is right. We're trying to educate. We are, you know, both Pastor Mandy and I, we have full-time jobs, we have families, and we're doing all of this on our spare time or taking vacation time to do these lectures. And we're trying to do the right thing. And I think it's having an impact. People aren't generally going to come up to me and say, well, one person did, said he was sorry and that he voted for Trump and that he wished he didn't. But that's the exception, not the rule. And I suppose, you know, if we're having an impact, then we'll see it in years to come. I won't see it in the next weeks or months, I don't think.
You don't think so? You don't think that people, I mean, if you had experiences where you're giving a lecture or a talk and, you know, somebody in the room changes their mind or has an insight that they didn't have before you walked in the room, and, you know, one of the things I think is interesting about your talk is at some point you're like, hey, this is a picture of our cat. Like, we're human. Like, we're just like you. Look, we have pets. And so I'm wondering if you can see minds changing right there in Dawson or in the, you know, Montevideo and Granite Falls and, you know, the places around Dawson.
We haven't had an abundance of thank yous, and we've had an abundance of letters and supportive comments. And we've also had the hate mail too. We've had the death threats as well. It is refreshing to be able to give the perspective of what mainstream Islam is to people who are probably getting it for the first time in their life and maybe the last time in their life, because the only exposure they have to it is from the mainstream media, which over the last 20 years has never said the word Islam without radicalism or jihadism or something else behind it. And we wonder why people think that. People don't talk about, you know, Islamic Relief or the charity organizations that are feeding mouths or going to Haiti or building homeless shelters. I guess that doesn't make news. So I think we're having an impact. I don't know if I can make that definitive statement that, yes, it's definitely changing people's minds and people are coming out of the lectures with an open heart and an open mind toward Islam. If anything, they're coming out with more information, and they're coming out with rational information, and they're coming out with a balanced presentation of what Islam actually is. And then maybe this is just the first step. Maybe down the line, we'll see more of that, not just of Islam, but all religions, because they all have the same message. They all have the message of inclusion and love and diversity. Maybe we'll see that. Maybe there'll be an awakening. Maybe our third great awakening in the U.S., but I don't know.
So for people in South Dakota who are listening now, we have a statewide audience, and maybe they live in a community where they don't know anyone who practices Islam, or they don't know any Muslims, and they have some perceptions that you would say were misperceptions. What are some of the things that you want to say to them about Islam in general?
Yeah, so if you look at the State Department's statistics, and you include all the terrorist organizations out there, which are 58 of them, they include 200,000 people at the max, 200,000 Muslims. Now, there's 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. So 200,000 divided by 1.6 billion, that's 0.001% of the population. So 99.99% of us condemn that. We hate that. We want these organizations to be ended and to be convicted and to be, we want justice. They don't represent us, and they are not our spokesperson, no more than Dylan Roof is the spokesperson for Christianity, or David Koresh is the spokesperson for Christianity, or Joseph Comey, who has killed over 100,000 people in South Sudan for Jesus Christ. He's not the spokesperson of Christianity. So I would hope people would think about this and understand that it's those really small percentage of radicals and extremism that's founded in hate. It's not founded in religion. It's religion gets hijacked, just like it got hijacked in the Crusades, just like it got hijacked by the KKK to promote white supremacy because of the difference between Noah's sons and their sons' ancestors, whether they're Hamites or Japhethites or descended from Shem. So I would hope that people who are listening would understand that, and that to give an opinion about what Islam is, you can have any opinion you want, but let it be one based upon information that is accurate, not on what you see that is sensationalized in the media, because that's the real way to the truth. That's the real way. That's the hard road that Jesus talks about. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Most people find it. Narrow is the road that leads to salvation. Very, very few people walk on it, but it can't be done without that.
When you look at President Trump's administration a year in, I'm sure you have many opinions, but I'm just wondering, are you still concerned about a Muslim registry, for example? Or do you feel like things have settled down and some of the things you were afraid that would come true in the first 100 days, for example, have not come true in the United States of America?
So this commander in tweet of ours is so unhinged, I worry about what could happen the next day. He's so unpredictable, I don't know what's going to happen. Tomorrow he could announce, or tomorrow he could get us into a nuclear war. He's so unfit. And I want it to be clear, it's not the Republican platform, and it's not the Democratic platform. This is not a political issue. There are very good Republicans out there, John Kasich, Senator Flake, John McCain. There are good Democrats out there, too. I think there are some real philosophical differences between the two, but it's fine to have philosophical differences, and maybe the truth lies in between. This is specifically about this occupant, this person, and the values that he represents that he has overtly stated. And when you base your campaign on division in order to stoke, anybody can stoke fear and stoke hatred and get supporters. I mean, that's the easy road. That's the wide road that leads to destruction Jesus is talking about. Due to his nature, I can't tell.
Let's close with this. Let's talk about healing. As you go and give these talks, and you're coming to Northern State in Aberdeen to have another talk, how do you get past your anger? How do you get past, the anger and the racism and the prejudice of other people? Where does healing begin? Is it in the conversation?
Well, I think that's what this is really about. And I think, and I believe this in my heart, that people are good. People are truly good. People in Dawson are fantastic. I mean, they're better than me in most and probably every way. It's just a question of getting the information out there and understanding what's real, what's not real, what's true. And once people are exposed to that, not this fake, false stuff you see like on Fox News, but once they're exposed to it, with somebody like myself who doesn't have a stake, I'm not running for any office or anything like that, I think people absorb that. And I do believe very, to my very being, people are good. And when they see these ideals of love and virtue and kindness and charity, that everybody responds to that, inclusion, it's just a question of kind of debulking a lot of the stuff that stoked emotion that was through untrue statements or, you know, narratives that aren't real.
Dr. Ayaz, VRG delivers a Wolf Talk at Northern State University in Aberdeen. That's November 29th at 6:30. You can meet him in the Blue Room at the Johnson Fine Arts Center. Dr. VRG, I'm sorry that your family has experienced that hatred. We thank you for your time today.
Thank you.